Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
This past week, my wife and I, we were able to go to a pastor's conference in Dallas, Texas. And it was kind of funny because we're on the plane and the pilot says, it's 85 degrees in Dallas and windy. Okay? Windy. So we come out of the airport expecting windy. Because in Casper, the forecast at 30 miles an hour is breezy. And when the wind hits 40 to 50, then it's windy. So we're expecting windy. 10 to 15 mile an hour winds. I said to Rebecca, I says, honey, this isn't even breezy in Casper. And I thought they did everything big in Texas, you know. They might do things big in Texas, but we do big wind in Wyoming, okay? But we just had a fabulous time, and it was just an incredible week. And, it wasn't the highlight, but a great thing is we got to see Dallas Cowboys Stadium, and that was good. But we had a lot of fun, but God just did some really neat things. I'm going to be sharing a little bit about what one of the speakers shared later on. But I want to talk about this morning the cross and the covenant. The cross and the covenant. We are celebrating Easter this week, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And on the night that Jesus was betrayed, Jesus celebrated the Passover meal. And the Passover meal was a very regimented, routine meal. All the different elements of the meal were symbolic of something. And Jesus, in the midst of this meal, he does something that just is totally off the charts. It had never been done before because you didn't mess with the Passover. But Jesus did something, and this is where we get communion. Communion was set up in the context of the Passover meal. And this is what took place. It says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And Jesus took bread. Something they had never done. He says, this is my body. And we're told in another passage that it was after supper Jesus took a cup. There were four cups in the Passover. The third cup, which was after the dinner, was symbolic of the blood of the Passover lamb. And after they were done eating, Jesus took this third cup that symbolized the blood of the lamb. And he said, he gave thanks and he said, drink from this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin. You see, the bread and the cup symbolize the body and blood of Jesus, and Jesus was setting something up. He says a new covenant. A covenant is an agreement between two parties. And if we are going to understand the covenant that Jesus established through his cross, we really need to understand the first covenant that God had with a man named Abraham. Because God set up a covenant with Abraham, and we're told in Romans 4:13, it says that the covenant promises God made to God, or God made to Abraham and to his descendants, they are extended to everyone who is saved through faith in Jesus Christ. It says, you and I, we are heirs of the world. It says that Abraham is the father of the Jews, and he's the father of the saved Gentiles. How many of you went to Sunday school and you remember singing the song, Father Abraham has many sons. Many sons as Father Abraham. I'm one of them and so are you. That's all. Praise the Lord. And you get the right arm going and the left arm going and the left foot going and the right foot going and nod your head and you turn around and you get dizzy and you fall down. That's where that song is based out of. Abraham is the father of us all. God began a covenant with Abraham. It was extended through Christ. And what God did for Abraham is what God has said he will do for us in a covenant relationship. So what is this covenant that Jesus set up with us? I want us to look at Genesis chapter 15. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Abraham's name had not been changed yet. That's why it's Abram. If I slip up and call him Abraham, that's who he is. I'm calling what was not as though it were, because that's who God saw him as. He said, do not be exceedingly afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your great reward. I want you to circle shield and circle reward. We're going to come back to those. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? The heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus, my servant. Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring, and indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And the word of the Lord came to Abram, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then God brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to them, so shall your descendants be. And Abraham believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? How will I know that this will happen? So God said, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. Now let's fast forward to verse 17. It came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark that, behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. And on that same day, the Lord God made a covenant with Abraham. Let's pray. Lord, I ask this morning that you would anoint your word. Lord, you'd open our eyes to covenant. God, we would see how much you love us, how much you care about us, how much you want us to partner with you. And I ask today that you will just give us a greater depth, a greater appreciation, and a greater reception of the covenant you have with us. Lord, I pray for those that don't know you, Lord, that today they would enter in that relationship. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're taking notes this morning, point number one, in covenant, God initiates a relational partnership. God initiates a relational partnership. It was God who initiated the covenant with Abraham. God is initiating a relationship. Elsewhere in the Bible, Abraham is called the friend of God. He's the only person God calls friend. Until Jesus came along and said, you were slaves, but I now call you friends. Through Jesus extended that friendship, that relationship to us. We can be friends of God, and it's also a partnership. We're going to see in a moment that God had a task for Abraham to do, but God was initiating. It wasn't Abraham saying, oh, God, would you do it? This was God's idea. God wanted Abraham. That's what covenant is about. And friends, Jesus wants you. Jesus has initiated covenant with us. When I was before my senior year in Bible college preparing for ministry, I had to do an internship. I was in Grand Junction, Colorado for the summer, and I was the assistant youth pastor. I was helping the youth pastor on staff and had a great summer. Left and went back to college for my senior year. A couple of months later, I get a call from the youth pastor. His name was Josh. And Josh called and said, hey, Craig, I have moved to Oregon. I've become the senior pastor of a church. I want you, when you graduate from college next spring, I want you to come and be my youth pastor. And I was going, that's great. Sure, you bet. Let me pray about it. But yeah, it seems great. Awesome. I accepted the position. I was excited. Here it is. It's October my senior year, and I've got a job. I don't have to worry about a job, okay? Some of you college graduates are going, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to graduate. I don't know what I'm going to do. How am I going to pay off this bill? I was excited to have a job. January rolls around. I get a call from Josh, and he says, Craig, I have some bad news. I can't hire you as my youth pastor. I have a worship leader who has been very disloyal to me. He says things like, he'll say to someone in the congregation, you know why you weren't healed? It's because of that man right there, and he'll point to me. He's undermining me. To make matters worse, his brother is on the board. His wife plays the piano. His mother plays the organ. His brother-in-law is the drummer. They're my entire worship team. When I get rid of this guy, I lose everything. I need to hire a worship pastor and not a youth pastor. So it is January, and I don't have a job. I don't have any leads because I thought everything was taken care of. So I do the resume blitz. I mean, I didn't even put together a resume because, I mean, I was getting that ready, but hey, I just quit. I had a job. I don't need a resume anymore. So now I got to start doing my resume, and I start doing the phone calls and start sending the letters, and we don't have email and all those things like we do now. So it takes a long time, this whole interview process, and we come to the middle of March. Nothing, not a zip, not a phone call, not a response. I don't know where I'm going. And in 42 days, I am getting married. And I don't know what I'm doing. How many know that's just a little bit of anxiety there, huh? I go into my my faculty advisor, Brother Jones, David Jones, a great man of God. He had been my advisor for 4 years, so I'd gotten to know him. He'd gotten to know me. And I go into him, I just begin to pour out my heart. I says, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm getting married in 42 days. I don't have a job. It's like, is there something wrong with me? Why is it that nobody wants me? Am I not good enough? And Brother Jones was there, and he just listened. He says, you know, Craig, I've been at the college a long time now. And I always think sometimes, man, I miss the people, I miss the ministry, I miss the hands-on thing. I mean, I love the college, but I miss the people at the same time. I've sometimes wondered I should maybe just go back into ministry, leave the college. He says, you know what? If I go back into ministry, I want you as my associate pastor, as my youth pastor. I want you. And you and I, we'll go and we'll do ministry together. And when he said that, I can't tell you what it did in my life. It was like all the fear and the anxiety and the hopelessness, the discouragement just melted away because somebody wanted me. And friends, God wants you. And he really wants you. Brother Jones never left the college, okay? I got a phone call a few weeks later from a church in Utah, went to Utah, was there for 4 years, had a great time there. But here's the thing. Jesus didn't just suggest, I want you. Jesus died on the cross and initiated and said, I want you. This is my idea. You didn't dream it up. I am calling you on the phone. Will you pick up the phone? Will you receive my invitation? I am inviting you to become my friend and my partner. Because you see, it wasn't just about Abraham being blessed. It was about him being a blessing. Flip back a couple of pages to Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis 12, verse 1, it says, the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house to a land I show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in all the families of the earth, and you, all the families of the earth, will be blessed. God was saying, Abraham, I'm going to bless you because you're going to bless the entire world. And friends, that is part of the covenant God has with us today. We are salt. We are light. We are to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the world. God has a work for you and I to do. God is asking you and I to join him in relationship and in partnership. It's a relationship that is so awesome. I had you circle two words. What were those words in Genesis 15? Shield and reward. Shield means you are protected from bad. And the reward is that you have a gain for good. God said to Abraham, I'm going to protect you from the bad. I'm going to be a shield, and I am going to bless you. I'm going to be your reward. You're going to have a gain, and that's what Jesus has done for us. He shields us from the fiery darts of the enemy. He protects us. He gives us victory. He gives us hope. He gives us faith. He gives us peace. He gives us his love. He gives us his joy. But he says, I don't want it to stop with you. I want you to go out and to give that love, to give that peace, to give that patience, that joy, that forgiveness to other people. Friends, we celebrate Easter in 1 week. Have you been partnering with God and inviting people to come to church on Easter Sunday? Have you been saying, man, I want you to join me? Have you went to your neighbors? Have you went to your friends? Have you gotten tickets from the booth and says, hey, you need to come with me. We're going to have a great time at church. Because you see, God wants you to partner everywhere you go, at home, at school, at work, in your neighborhood. You and I represent Jesus wherever we go. Some of you say, man, I don't feel good enough. We were at the conference, and there's a pastor there. His name is Rick Bezette. He started New Life Church in 2001. Today, they have 6 campuses in 6 different cities. They're in Little Rock, in Conway, Heber Springs, Hot Springs, Fort Smith, and Cabot. Between these 6 campuses, they video him preaching, and they broadcast it to these towns. And between all the churches, they have 16 services every weekend. They minister to thousands of people, and Rick shared this at the conference. He said, there are many times I feel like God has picked the wrong person. God, why did you call me to be a pastor? Why did you call me to ministry? I'm not the right guy. But he said, I'm confident of this one thing. I'm confident that God called me. Even though I don't feel I'm the right guy, I'm confident that God has called me. And friends, there have been many times I have felt, God, why did you call me to be a pastor? Man, I know my shortcomings. I know my flaws. I know who I am. God, it doesn't make sense. Why did you call me? God, I'm not worthy enough. I'm not good enough. But I'm confident of this. I know he called me. And friends, God knew Abraham. A few weeks ago, we talked about Abraham. Remember, he left the promised land. He went to Egypt. He had his wife lie about them being married. He commits the Hagar incident. God knew all of that before God made a covenant. God knew Abraham and said, it doesn't matter, I want you. God knows Rick Bezette and he said, that doesn't matter, I want you. God knows Craig Mellendorf and he says, it doesn't matter, I want you. And God knows Bob McCoy and he wants him. He knows John Cash and he wants him. He knows Rio Buckingham and he wants him. God knows you and he wants you. He loves you, and Jesus died on the cross so you can have relationship and partnership with him, so that your life can matter, so you can touch people, so that all the world can be blessed through you. Hey, that is a good place for an amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, God wants you. You have a destiny. You're in covenant. God has initiated a relational partnership. It's not just a partnership where you do. It's relational. I'm going to be your shield. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to be your reward. I'm going to bless you. But then you're going to be a blessing to everyone else. That's what Jesus has done for us in covenant. This week of Easter, walk in relationship with him and in partnership with him. Let him fill you with his spirit. Let him move in you. Let's pack this place out, not so that we have a big crowd, but so that people can be blessed and they know Jesus. God wants you. That old Uncle Sam poster, I want you, but Jesus isn't scowling. He has his arms open wide, smiling. I want you. I want you. Point number 2, if you're taking notes this morning, covenant requires sacrifice on both parts. Covenant requires sacrifice on both parts. Abraham, he had to leave the city, the Ur of Chaldees he was in. He had to leave his family. He left a cushy life where they had markets and houses, and he lives now for the next several decades in a tent with no water and no Walmarts and no nothing. He's tenting. How many of you would like to tent for the next 60 years of your life? I don't see any takers on that one. I mean, we have our nice big motorhomes now that have our color TV and our satellite and our stereo and our air conditioning and the place to drive in, our ATV. And I mean, and we have the oven and the microwave oven and the refrigerator. I mean, we don't rough. I mean, camping's not roughing it anymore. I mean, it is high class now. We enjoy it here in Wyoming. Abraham tented. You talk about a sacrifice. He was willing to do that later on in life. God asks him, will you sacrifice your only son Isaac? Will you give him on the altar? And Abraham, he did that. He was sacrificing him, and God stopped him right before the knife plunged down. Friends, covenant involves sacrifice. And as believers, the Bible says we are living sacrifices. We are to be holy and acceptable and prove the perfect will of God. So many people come to Jesus thinking, oh man, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. He's my shield, he's my reward. Now I can go out and do whatever I want to do. It is a sacrifice. Jesus said, if you want to be my follower, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Anyone who did anything great for God sacrificed. Joshua sacrificed. Daniel sacrificed. They took risks. Jesus, Paul, Peter, they all sacrificed. They gave things up. But what they gained for their sacrifice was an eternally better reward. If I want to be in covenant, have this awesome relationship and partnership, I need to be willing to lay my life down and say, God, it's all you. What do you want? I surrender everything to you. In this story of Genesis 15, we see God say, take five animals and sacrifice them. Sacrifice always involved the shedding of blood. That's why in Matthew 26, Jesus said, this is my body. He looked at the cup and he said, this is my blood. It's not the cup of the blood of the Passover lamb anymore. This is my blood that is given for the forgiveness of sin to establish a new covenant with you. You see, Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice. What are we willing to give for God? What are we willing to give for him? I need to be willing to lay my life down. Let's look at the final point, point number three this morning. God commits himself to be loyal no matter what. God commits himself to be loyal no matter what. Look at Genesis 15. Friends, this is so powerful. I have read this over several times in my life, and it wasn't until this week that I realized this truth. It's a powerful truth. In verse 5, God brings Abraham outside. He says, look to heaven, count the stars. Your descendants will be as numerous as the stars. Abraham believes God, and it's accounted to him for righteousness. But look at verse 8. The Lord said, I brought you out of the Ur of Chaldeans. I'm going to give you this whole land. And what does Abraham say, this mighty man of faith? Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? How do I know you're going to do this? How do I know this is going to happen? I'm going to get this land. You're going to fulfill this covenant with me. How do I know? And God said, take the animals, sacrifice them, and they would make a path. And in Bible times, you see, God's speaking to Abraham and something he can understand. In Bible times, when two nations would make a covenant, a peace pact, the stronger nation was expecting the weaker nation to serve them and not attack them, to be their ally, and in return, they would protect them no matter what. And the weaker nation would walk through the aisle, this pathway of the animals that have been sacrificed and cut in half. And what the king of the lower nation, the weaker nation, was saying, as I walk between these dismembered animals, I am declaring my loyalty to you. If I and my nation are disloyal, then you can dismember me and my family just as these sacrifices are dismembered. Did you catch that? That's what was involved in covenant. It's a pledge of loyalty. I will be loyal to you. If not, what happened to the animals? You can do that to me and my family. Now, who walked through the animal pieces? The lesser did, but who walked through it here? It wasn't Abraham. It was God. God is the greater. He shouldn't have been walking. It should have been Abraham. But Abraham says, God said, you want to know how I'm going to be loyal and fulfill this covenant to you? I'll show you. I will walk through the pieces. And if there's any disloyalty, it's on me. And friends, as you look at history, Israel was disloyal to the covenant. You and I broke covenant through our sin, through our lies, our anger, our unforgiveness, our gossip and backbiting, our lust, our immorality, our selfishness, our sin. We have been disloyal. And instead of us being dismembered, Jesus, the night he was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it, and he said, this, as this is ripped off, my flesh is going to be ripped from my body when I'm whipped, and by these stripes you will be healed. This blood that is shed is my blood, and it is going to forgive you of your sin. I have promised to be loyal to you in covenant. I have walked through the pieces. I have walked the road of Golgotha. I'm going to give my life on the cross, and you can trust me. I am loyal to you, always. The covenant of the bread and the cup, the covenant of the cross, says God wants you. He loves you. He wants to partner with you. You might have to sacrifice, but he's made the ultimate sacrifice. And no matter how bad things get, he will always be loyal. No matter what. No matter what. There may be some of you here today, and you're feeling God hasn't been loyal to you. You feel God has disappointed you. He's let you down. You don't understand what he's doing in your life. You're battling with fear. We've been talking about the past few weeks, battling discouragement, anxiety, depression. You maybe feel numb. Friends, in a few moments, we're going to partake of communion. When you come down, remember, he is loyal. And it doesn't matter how you feel. The covenant and the cross confirm he's loyal and he has looking out for you. You are the head and not the tail. He has loved you with an everlasting love, and that you are a friend of God, and that he's entering into partnership. You are an heir of the world. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Oh, what a covenant we have. Some of us might be here today, and we really haven't been thinking about the partnership that God wants in our lives. You might feel like Rick Bezette, man, God, you've got the wrong person. I can't do anything for you, friends. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are valuable to God. God wants to use you. You have a destiny. He has a partnership for you. Musicians, you can go ahead and play. I want you to just bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment. How many of you this morning, you'd say, I don't feel worthy. I don't feel God can use me. I don't feel I can do anything great for him. You talk about partnership, but it seems foreign. Maybe some of you are here and you're so busy, you say, I'm afraid to be a partner with God because I can't get done what I have to get done. How many this morning you'd say, I'm giving my life as a living sacrifice to be God's partner. I want him to use me for his kingdom work. I want to build his purposes. Even though he knows you, he wants you to do work for him in the kingdom. How many here this morning would say, I'm giving my life to God to be used for him? Just lift your hand up this morning. I see those hands. In a few moments, we're going to come down and partake of communion. As you do, I want you to think as you partake of the elements that Jesus has filled you and you have power and you can do all things. Make that a declaration as you partake of communion today. How many of you this morning, you'd say, man, I feel God's been disloyal. I feel that he hasn't been there. He hasn't been faithful. And you need to know his love, his security, his comfort this morning. Just raise your hand. How many would say, I need to know he's loyal to me. He hasn't left me. Thank you. As you partake of communion, I want you to remember that Jesus committed himself to you and you can trust him. Last of all, there may be some of you here today and you haven't been forgiven of your sin. If you died this morning, you're not sure if you'd go to heaven or hell. Some of you maybe know where you'd go, and it's not heaven. You know that you need to be forgiven. You need to be cleansed of your unrighteousness. You sense God calling out to you, say, join me in relationship. Join me in partnership. I want you. How many this morning, you'd say, I need Jesus to forgive me of my sin. And before you raise your hand, I don't want you to raise your hand. I want you to stand to your feet. If that's you this morning. If I had the keys of a brand new car and I said, if you want the car, come on down and get it. How many of you would come on down? Many of you would. Friends, what we're offering you today is something greater than a new car. It's a new life. God wants to give you a new life. He wants to cleanse you. And Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you and my Father in heaven. But if you confess me, I'll confess you. He stood on a cross for the whole world to see. God wants you to enter into relationship today. And if you want that relationship, you want to be forgiven of your sin and let Jesus take control of your life, I just want you to stand where you're at right now. Just stand on your feet all across this building. How many would say, I want to enter into partnership, covenant with God. I need forgiveness of my sin. Just stand on your feet this morning.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.